Good day to you. Welcome to another edition of Front Page on Morehead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Chuck Moraz. Today, our guest is Rowan County Judge Executive Dr. Walter Blevins. And Dr. Blevins, thanks so much for being with us today on the program.
Glad to be with you. I'm in Dallas, Texas right now, though, Chuck. And hopefully people can hear us well enough.
We're just glad you're with us on the line, at least.
Well, I'm at the State Consultants. It's part of the Southern Economic Development Council. And I decided to come down and attend it. I think it's a good chance maybe to let people know about Morehead, Kentucky, and our Economic Development Office and our wonderful industrial park.
I don't know much about it. I hadn't heard you were going. Maybe you can tell me what types of things this organization is involved with and what types of plans you have while you're there.
Well, we start today. Actually, I'm missing breakfast right now, but we start and we have these consultants who basically cite different industries to come. You know, they contact these consultants and say, I need a good site, I need a good workforce, I need cheap electric, I need cheap water, whatever you're looking for. And they try to go out here and find these sites, and that's what we're going to meet with. I think there's maybe close to 10 of them, I think. And then there's a reception later this evening, and then we're mainly just listening to them, telling us what we need to do, what's the best way to put your front foot forward, I guess, to know what to expect and to try to get prepared for when they do come to your facility and look at them.
Is there a chance that this gathering could provide you with some leads that you might be able to turn over to the local Economic Development Council?
That's exactly why I'm here, to try to bring some more economic development. Of course, we're excited about the new Cookbridge plant going out there. That's 220 jobs. I think the average pay is around $19 an hour, you know, with benefits included. So we're excited about that. But we still have a lot of room out there at the industrial park for other investments, and that's the reason I came down. Brooklyn Hesterberg is also here, and Bob Helton was supposed to be here, but he's up in Canada working on some economic development as well. And so I decided to come on down and try to participate in this. I think hopefully it'll be a fruitful opportunity to bring some people to Morehead, Kentucky.
Well, I guess it's like the old adage says, if you want business, you can't wait for it to show up on your doorstep. You have to go find it.
You've got to wait to go out and shake hands and try to get them to at least come look at your, you know, get on the internet and look at what you've got to offer people.
So let's move on to another topic, one that we always talk about, and we won't be talking about for much longer, I assume, is the jail project.
Yeah, things are going well. They said we're 99.9% ready to go in. We're hoping we'll get the keys by middle of May. That's about a month away. And we're excited about that. There's a few more little change orders. They're going to try to expedite those as soon as they can. But it looks like we're in the final stretches of the game, and we think we're going to have a wonderful product that we can hopefully decrease the amount of taxpayer dollars that actually go into running the jail.
When you talk about the change orders, what types of changes do you need to make, and do you have an idea on the cost?
One was about $12,000. That's probably the most expensive one. And it was to, and we're trying to get the architects to the company to help maybe at least defray part of the cost of that. Their control room has an area where the person in charge of the jail and in charge of the at least the control room can sit in this with the panels and with all the computer work, open doors to kind of look at other cameras, but it can also look directly down the three hallways where most of the prisoners will be. And some reason they put that in a position more forward than it needs to be, and they're going to have to move it back more to the center of the room. It was a mix-up, we think, by the architects, and hopefully they're going to try to help defray part of the cost on that. We haven't got the final word, but we've at least talked to them. They're going to try.
Have you been in the facility recently?
Yes, actually, I was there the last couple of days. Not yesterday, but before that, they were doing a punch list, going around every room looking for paint on, where it needs painting, or something needs tightened up, something needs sanded and or maybe sealed. They went through every room in that facility, and there's hundreds of rooms. And I spent some time with them, had an opportunity to kind of see the nitty gritty how they do this, and they're going to try to have a very nice facility. There's one thing that they do want to. We're talking about. We're trying to get a price on that. We've got about over $600,000 in what they call contingency fees, which can be used for other things in the jail. We can actually, I guess, pay some of the payments with that money, but you can't spend it on anything else except for the jail. And we only put in about, I forget the exact amount, but we've got this epoxy floors in the main three hallways. We've got carpeting some in the office areas and tile in some of the other areas. But in the jail cells themselves, we've just got a sealed concrete. There's some talking about going to price it. Maybe we can go ahead and just put epoxy floors throughout the jail. We've got extra money there. I think we're trying to get a price. We may go ahead and tell them to go ahead and do that. If it can be done expeditiously, and we don't want to hold up the opening of the jail for that, though, but we think we have time to do that.
Well, when you talk about that $600,000 that has to go to the jail, then do you save it perhaps later on for deframing of some of the operating expenses?
I think we're allowed to do that. We can use it for the operating expenses. We also we can do the epoxy floor. I think you can actually even buy some equipment if you need. Things have been left out. The other change, relatively minor. It was basically dealing with hooking up certain things and making sure that the walls are there's one wall was left out. It's a wall that basically it's a privacy wall and one of those kind of a drink tank. And they've got to put a new wall. We looked at a couple of alternatives, but that's something that can be done hopefully in a day or two, so it's not going to slow us up either.
So all in all, though, are you pretty pleased with how things look?
I think I'm very pleased, and I think the public, when they get an opportunity to go through there before we open the thing, not after it's open, but we'll get an opportunity to see it, and I think they'll be very impressed with what we have.
You know, when you talk about just the look of that facility and the, raggedy old building that replaced that tin tobacco barn that it used to, used to be on that site, I mean, how much does that help your community in terms of just this improved appearance of this new building there?
I think it has to help. It was a terrible looking old warehouse, and was basically the roof was falling in and parts of it. That was a 6-acre building, and but it was basically tin, and not a very attractive thing to drive people by. So I think when we got a chance to look at that property and we've made it. We thought we were doing something not just for the jail, but also cleaning up that end of town and making it much more attractive when people come into your community.
Well, I
think it has a lot of positives with the site we took down, and now we've got a beautiful. It's a beautiful building from the exterior. It really adds to the community.
Also, I saw that at this week's fiscal court meeting, you again discussed a resolution for Rowan County to become a member of an organization called the Kentucky Mountain Regional Recreation Authority, better known to some people as the KMRRA.
That's correct. Debbie Spencer, a friend of mine, I've known her for many years. She's a lobbyist, and she's been working on this for other parts of the state, especially southeast Kentucky. And I think we need to be a part of it. Of course, half or two-thirds of our property are inside the Danube National Forest, and we need to be attracting those types of people to our community. West Virginia, I think Virginia already has this in place, and I think Menifee and Round are the only two counties that weren't part of this, and pass a resolution, so we're going to be a part of that. I think Menifee will also do that, and that we'll have the whole Danube National Forest with an opportunity to try to attract four-wheelers and ATVs, those type of things. And we're also looking at trying to, put some scenic trails for people that want to just ride motorcycles. And it's also it'll be dealing with trying to help in bring horse trails and other types and hiking trails throughout our region.
when you talk about the advantages of membership in the KMRRA, do they actually kind of provide help with developing these things?
Well, we're hoping we'll find some dollars for that. Again, it's a new organization just trying to get off the ground. I guess I'll serve on it myself until my term is up, and hopefully we can move forward and we can go out here and attract some grants and opportunities and maybe eventually some federal and state dollars to help us to develop this program.
Well, one thing I saw that was interesting to me on the fiscal court agenda was the first reading of an ordinance amending subdivision ordinance 03-10, new and existing pipelines, and I have to believe that this involves the planned Kinder Morgan pipeline that will cut through Round County.
Yes, it does, and we're hoping it'll be some benefit. I also signed a letter went out this week to Kinder Morgan themselves and asking them to reevaluate this pipeline, this reversal of the pipeline, and using it and putting more hazardous materials. I'm not so sure that the guideline we pass is really going to save a lot of people's lives if something did happen, but at least it makes them more aware they've got to come up with some kind of plans to try to help people and protect people. But my concern is that these new things they're putting into this pipeline, it's liquefied natural gases, that type of thing. They're about 50 times more explosive than the natural gas that are flowing through our community today. And they also, if there's a leak, it may not cause an explosion at first, but it can basically suffocate people. It just gets out into the ground and takes away all the oxygen, and people will basically be suffocated. And it would be something slowly, gradually moving up on people. It's something we hope that they'll look at and not continue with this pipeline through our community, not just our community, but Madison County and Lowell County and many other counties. This pipeline will be going through, and it could affect the safety of a lot of our people.
What would the changes to the ordinance do?
I think it says if it goes close to a neighborhood or a school or anything, they've got to have at least to try to put this thing at least 500 feet away from those kinds of facilities. So it means they have to actually re-engineer the pipeline, move the pipeline in different directions to try to alleviate the possibility, or at least get the pipeline further away from schools and divisions, those types of things.
Do you have any idea where Kinder Morgan is on this project at this point?
Well, I've talked to their lobbyists a few times, and they tell me that they don't have any buyer for this stuff. And that it's really on the back burner. I've been in Frankfort a long time, was in Frankfort a long time, and you can't trust everything that people tell you. So I'm concerned that we need to try to nip it in the bud as soon as we can, and this is another attempt to try to do that.
I was going to say, it sounds like the project hasn't really been initiated, and this is several hundred miles and includes 18 Kentucky counties, including Rowan.
That's exactly. It's a big effect on. They tried to do the same thing back a few years ago and tried to get a pipeline down through Frankfort, Kentucky, and along the northern border. And the counties were up in arms about it. They were trying to say they owned this part of it. They didn't actually own the pipeline. I think they were trying to build a new pipeline. And now they've come back and trying to use an old pipeline that's in certain parts of it are 70 years old. We've had explosions on this pipeline before. It's anything can happen, but this. If it happened with this kind of new material they're putting in that, it's 50 times more explosive, and also it does the air it lays on the ground.
So at this point, though, just to reiterate, there's no timeline for starting this project at this point. They're still kind of in the talking stages?
That's what I've been told. They don't have a buyer for these products at present time, and that's what the lobbyists are telling me, but again, I think we need to move forward with expediency and try to make sure that we let them know that we're not going to stand for it.
Again, our guest today on the front page is Rowan County Judge Executive Dr. Walter Blevins. We'll pause on the program. Come back with more in just a moment.
There are many ways to connect with Morehead State Public Radio. Log on to WMKY.org for enhanced regional news, on-demand audio and video, breaking news from NPR, and information on your favorite programs. Get links to Facebook and Twitter while you listen to our live broadcast online, or download mobile apps from NPR and take 90.3 FM with you everywhere. Connect with your community and Morehead State Public Radio. Visit WMKY.org.
Welcome back to today's Front Page. Again, we're talking Rowan County business with Judge Executive Dr. Walter Blevins, Jr. And Dr. Blevins, as we continue our discussion, the one thing that also caught my eye, well, there were several things in this last meeting that caught my eye. I guess members of STAR possibly were at this meeting. I know they're looking to take over the animal shelter here locally. What's the latest developments regarding that issue?
Well, we had a full... we had to bring in extra chairs, and some people still stood up. We had both groups there, people that aren't in favor of STAR taking over our county animal shelter. The importance there and strength. The STAR group came in. They read a two or three page explanation of they wanted to take it over. They got up and left. We were kind of shocked that they got up and left. I don't think it helped their cause any. Instead of listening to the, some of the merits of the argument against them. So they left, but we had a long conversation with the people that are opposed to it. We were going to limit it to a certain number of people, but after we got into it, there was more need to be said, and our head of our animal shelter or our animal control board, who's very knowledgeable, Scott Templeton, who runs Tinworth Inn, and he serves as the chairman of our board now. He was there to answer some of those questions. He says there's still some things that need to be done at our animal shelter to make it a better and safer place for animals, and make it easier to adopt those animals. The dogs and cats. So it was a good conversation. Right now, I didn't see any effort of. I asked my court if there was any interest in going forward with handing this over to STAR, at least asking for proposals, not just from STAR, but from other agencies as well. And it didn't look like I had much interest in the court to do that. So at the present time, it's on the back burner, or not even on the burner at all.
So do you expect the members of STAR, though, at some point possibly down the road, to make another push for this?
I think they're liable to. They had showed some interest in it. We gave them all our budget data. They were looking at it. They want to be a partner in this. They basically want to run it. But of course, they still want the county to put in a certain amount of money, similar to what we put into it now, to help them run it. But they seem to think they could run it better. But there's some disagreement and argument about that. So at present time, I'd say we'll let the next judge, and maybe the next court. We got a new court coming in and a new judge that'll be coming in. We may just hold off and let them make that decision.
So in your mind, though, is there any point where a compromise could possibly be reached?
I didn't feel a lot of compromise in my court that day. And so I'd say it's something that'll have to come up a few months down the road if it comes up ever again.
Well, I'll ask you, I guess that there was discussion regarding the 17-18 current fiscal year budget. What took place regarding that?
Well, they gave me my first reading. We had a few amendments. I'd left out something. We were going to give the Red Cross, which does a great job, at least Danny Blevins, our ambulance director, said they do a terrific job, especially on people that are burned out and fires. They come in and try to give them some clothes, try to get them a place to stay at a hotel or wherever they can find them. So we gave them, they asked for $1,500, added that to my budget. Also, the extension board, another $10,000, gave them up to $150,000 that we subsidized them. That's for your 4-H and your farm extension and homemakers and those types of things. And those people, they do a terrific job and do it on a very meager budget compared to other surrounding counties. So I added that, got the approval on that. Gave some of the other groups that come in, I gave them additional dollars for the child abuse prevention, the Gateway homeless shelter, gave them additional money. Probably one of the things I guess we need to talk about probably is there was a move by Stanley Messer, who's not running again, made a recommendation that we increase the salaries of our magistrate. And he made that motion. I think it was up to, I think around 13,000, a little over 13,000 they get for a year. And we've moved that to 19,000. They hadn't had a raise in over 25 years, and it won't affect the people that are presently serving. It'll only affect the new court that comes in. Stanley made a good presentation that, you know, at this job and with the millions of dollars that we deal with, that these people deserve. It's a lot of phone calls at home, people asking about this, the roads and everything else. And I seconded the motion, and we had enough folks to put that on the new budget. And we also at the same time gave our county attorney, who's unopposed, we gave him an additional about 25,000 or 25%. And also our coroner, who's done a terrific job. I think everybody knows that John Northcutt does a terrific job, unopposed for many years now. And we gave him about another 25 or about $3,000 or $4,000 addition to his salary next year. Those people we think deserve it. My court decided to vote for it, and so that'll be that's in the budget at present. Of course, everything in this budget, we have to get a second reading on that, and they'll have a chance to public out there to make a decision how they feel about that. But I really think if you serve like Stanley has and served in government like I have, these are really underpaid jobs and deserve some kind of a little enumeration. After 25 years, these people, and I think our county is, you know, very progressive. I think we're dealing, you know, a $20 million jail facility. We're multi-million dollar budget. It's important to give people some compensation for this.
I was going to ask you any concerns about paying for those raises, because I know a number of the construction projects that are going on right now here in the county will be ending here in not too many months, and that means perhaps less tax revenue.
Well, it does, but again, we've got construction going on at the new compression plant for the Columbia Gas down on 377. We've got the announcement of the new facility that we're looking at the Cooperage for the state mill. That's 220 jobs, which would be a pretty good shot in the arm for our payroll tax. We're hoping that we'll see more industries coming in. Of course, we're building enough. I think it's about a $5 million project that'll start here in the near future. That's for the second part of the KCTCS building. We'll be able to move that out there, and that building hopefully will be built within about a year. We think we're pretty safe that we're going to have the money to continue to fund these things. And it's a small amount of money compared to especially for those salaries for those employees. I guess, and the other thing is, our county employees do a terrific job, and they've not had many raises, and I put in a 50-cent per hour raise for all those employees, and also we upgraded some of the salaries of those people that are in the road crew that are basically, you know, they're CDL drivers, also heavy equipment operators. If you don't give them an adequate salary, there's so many people that will come in here and steal them away after you've trained them, got them used to doing the job, and so I increased those in the behest of the Paul Brown, our road foreman, and he made a strong argument to me to increase those, because you've got to compete with the private sector out there also if you want to hang on to these good qualified employees.
Just a few seconds left. How many county employees are there right now? And I guess when you talk about all the raises combined, how much is the price tag?
I don't have those figures exactly in front of me. But I'd say we're probably close to 90-some employees. I may go up some with the jail. I think it was – I don't have those figures. I wish I had that for you. I'll probably get that to you. But I think it was – couple of hundred thousand maybe for all the pay increase and increasing those other salaries. I've been correct on that.
All right, Judge, as always, enjoyed talking to you and appreciate the time, and best of luck down in Dallas.
Well, thank you much. I can tell everybody how I'm doing, and I'm trying to bring home some more jobs. Hopefully that'll be the end of the session down here. We'll have some more people come up and visit Boyd and our wonderful industrial park.
Again, that's Rowan County Judge Executive, Dr. Walter Blevins, Jr. I'm Chuck Morales on Front Page.